Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the January 25th 2015 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carrico, and for the next hour, we are going to be studying the Word of God. Our lesson this morning is God's preserved Word. God's preserved Word. And I want to give a shout out this morning to Barb W. She has just had a birthday. She is now 39 years old, and we certainly love and appreciate you, Barb. And I want to give a shout out also this morning to our YouTube listeners. The number of people that are watching us on YouTube on a regular basis is growing. So hey to you YouTube people this morning. And also give a shout out to Summit Dave up in Canada. We appreciate Summit Dave and all he's doing in rebroadcasting on his website, our FOJC Radio broadcast. And just a shout out to all of you. We love you and appreciate you this morning for your love for the Lord and His Word. And as we do, we prepare our hearts with a brief time of worship to receive the Word. So let's prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God this morning. And then we're going to have our lesson, God's preserved Word.
in my hardest has done me no good. I want to boldly stand for Jesus like I should. But I don't have the strength, Lord, to go where you lead. So I'll call on you, Jesus. You've got the power you need to make me new, Lord. Be my righteousness, make me new, Lord. So I can manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Broken one by one. I tried to change myself, but it just can't be done. There's only one thing that I can do. Just give up my fighting and surrender to you. Let the Spirit flow through me until I am filled. And each day I live, I'll let you kill me. Make me new, Lord. Be my righteousness, make me new, Lord. So I can manifest the fruit of the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. What an awesome privilege it is to be able to gather together via the internet. I thank God every week we're able to do this. It's quite possible the time will come when in the near future we will not be able to. We just pray that the Lord will give us a season to preach God's Word, and we need to be thankful to Him for that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to praise your holy name, to study your word, and to defend your word this morning. Lord, we do thank you for each and every one that's listening or that will hear this broadcast, whether by YouTube archive or rebroadcast. However, we thank you, Lord, for them. And we pray, Father, that you help us to be the body that you died on the cross to bring forth, that will stand up for your truth and be a light in this dark world. Lord, help me this morning to bring forth your word. Anoint my mind and my lips to bring forth your word, and anoint the hearts and the ears to hear this morning. Help Donna to keep everything running smoothly, and help us, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to begin in the 12th Psalm in our scripture, and our lesson this morning is God's preserved word. And here at FOJC Radio, we stand for the word of God. God has given us an inspired, inerrant word. And he has not only given us an inspired, inerrant word, but he has also preserved it. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the doctrine of Bible preservation. Now, the King James Bible is God's words preserved in English. Now, we believe that God's words were inspired in the traditional Greek text and in the Hebrew Masoretic text. And I totally reject the Westcott and Hort text of 1881 and the Nestle-Aland and the UBS text as rank apostasy. This is our position, and what we're going to be talking about this morning is why we believe what we do. Now let's begin in Psalm chapter 12, verse 1. Help, Lord. I can relate to that, can't you? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And this is a psalm of David, and it's a time when he was struggling not only with Saul, but later with his own son Absalom and his counselor Ahithophel. And we did lessons where we understood that they were a type of the beast and the false prophet. So this psalm has some prophetic overtones to it. And in this time of struggle, David, through the Holy Ghost, is wondering where all God's people are at. You know, and I can relate to that. It says, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart they do speak. And the people that should have been helping the cause of God had a double heart. They said one thing with their lips, but their heart was really joined to something else. In verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. And in this time of the godly that should have been standing up for the truth of God being a no-call, no-show, in verse 6, let's look at Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, and here is a very clear promise that God will preserve His word. Psalm 12 and 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. And everybody said, amen. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, something interesting about the King James Bible, and there's many, many things, it took 7 years to translate it. It was begun in 1604. It was finished 7 years later in 1611. Also, the King James Bible was revised seven times. The first edition come out in 1611. The final Cambridge edition. The final Cambridge edition, the final seventh revision, was in 1769. And this 1769 seventh edition of the Cambridge text, that is the one that we want to have. Purified seven times. And these things aren't coincidences. In verse 7, now here's the promise. Thou, and let's just read 6 and 7 again to get the flow. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has not only given us His word, but He has promised to us that He will preserve it. Now, the stance that we take, standing for the preserved word of God, and that the King James Bible does contain God's preserved words in English. Now, we're going to really unpack that, and we're going to take some time to talk about this because this is one of the most important issues, and there's probably more confusion about this issue than almost any other. And we need to know what we believe and why we believe it, and to be able to defend intelligently our position. The devil wants nothing more than to get a Christian in a false Bible. That's one of the heights of his joy. But while we do stand in the minority, we do not stand alone. And I just want to mention a few of the people today that we do stand with on this issue. We would stand with, excuse that, our phone is now shut off, and here we go again. That's the thing I love about live radio. It is what it is, and you get what you get. But I want to talk about who we stand with today in the position we take. We stand in the minority, but we do not stand alone, and we stand with some very good people. We would stand today with the Bible for Today ministry with Dr. D.A. Waite. And if you want good materials on this issue, the Bible for Today has them. Now, Dr. Waite is a Baptist. I can't stand with Dr. Waite on all of his doctrine, but Dr. Waite is a Baptist like the Baptist used to be. And he speaks against the pagan holidays. He homes church. He has a home church in Collingswood, New Jersey. I have met Dr. Waite personally on more than one occasion, and I've also had several phone calls with him. He has been very gracious to me to talk to me personally about issues, about the Greek text and translation, and he has been very kind to me and very helpful. And the material that they put out on this issue are just top-notch. We would also stand with the Dean Burgon Society. The Dean Burgon Society, likewise, they published, Dean Burgon was the man that opposed Westcott and Hort. When Westcott and Hort, in the 19th century, the Westcott and Hort text came out in 1881, and Dean Burgon was a minister in the Church of England and a tremendous scholar. And what tickles me, I've got in my library four large hardback volumes by Dean Burgon in his wars with Westcott and Hort, and the doctrine we believe, that I believe and I know most of you believe, we would not differ from Dean Burgon one bit on issues of doctrine. And the Dean Burgon Society likewise puts out a lot of good material. And thirdly, another organization that we would stand with is Christian Pinto and Adullam Films. They have absolutely are putting out some tremendous material, films like Lamp in the Dark, Tares Among the Wheat, and on another issue, The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. They are just absolutely great on the issue of the King James Bible and also the Founding Fathers. So we are not alone in what we're saying. We are in the minority, but we stand with some of the best minds and the greatest Greek scholars on earth in what we say this morning. But it is a minority position. The apostate church has gone from this position, and the apostate church and all of the apostate schools, they have universally adopted the Nestle-Aland text, which is based on the Westcott and Hort. But let's go to the Word of God, and I want to begin this morning to take time to hear the scriptures about Bible preservation, and above all, that which our Lord Jesus Christ said. We need to understand that God not only gave us an inspired word, but he promised to preserve it. Bible preservation, and this is something Jesus talked about on multiple occasions in John chapter 10 and verse 35. Jesus said, "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." And that word luo means to break or destroy. It was used of a ship that would be at sea and would break up in the midst of a storm. The scripture will never be broken or destroyed because God has promised to preserve it. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Jesus here is speaking to Bible preservation of the New Testament. The Gospels that contain his words will not pass away. The book of Revelation contains his words. The letters he gave to the seven churches, his words are there. His words are also quoted in throughout the New Testament. God not only gave us the New Testament, but he has promised to preserve it. in Psalm 119, which is the largest chapter in the Word of God. It's the middle of the Word of God, and it also is about the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled in heaven, it's settled on earth, it has been inspired and preserved, and though the devil attack it, do what he may, the scripture will stand and it will not be broken. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, and we can't even begin to read all the scriptures about Bible preservation, but I want to give you the most important, well, some of the most important. There are just so many, you can't really say one's more important than another. But in 1 Peter 1 and 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." It not only is preserved forever, it's alive forever. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 17 and 18, Jesus made some very, very specific remarks about Bible preservation. And I'm going to read for you what some of the so-called top scholars of the apostate church believe and say about Bible preservation, and they do not believe in Bible preservation anymore. They do not believe in the old systematic theology books, and boy, I got a bunch of them, got a bunch of good ones. And they all talk about what they call the plenary verbal inspiration of the Scripture. And that means that the very words of God are inspired. And the church no longer believes that anymore. The apostate church rejects that, and I'm going to show you that from their own mouths. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, and verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, the jot, or the yodeth, it's pronounced like yah, and it was an apostrophe or a comma. And the tittle is not even a letter. It's a tiny mark that makes differentiation between two Hebrew letters. So, what Jesus is saying here, that not only will my words not pass away, but even the finest marks of the Word of God that show punctuation, they are going to be preserved. And what Jesus is saying is, God has given us an inspired Word, and don't you mess with it. God gave it in an inspired, inerrant way, and he has preserved it in an inerrant way, and don't mess with the Word of God. And that's what I say. I don't want these heretics messing with my Bible. Leave my Bible alone. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. And what a lot of them say, that Jesus here was talking about the Septuagint, and that is wrong. In the Septuagint, it was not divided that way. When the Bible speaks of the law and the prophets, and I'm going to give you two more verses that show that Jesus endorsed the Hebrew Masoretic text. You talk about the authorized version. The Hebrew Masoretic text is the authorized version because Jesus authorized it. And in the Septuagint, and by the way, it's debatable if the Septuagint even existed at this time. And that's another issue. Some of the brightest scholars now are coming to believe that it didn't even exist. The only proof that exists comes from one quote by one man. And there's never been a Septuagint that old found. But anyway, in the Septuagint, the division of the Septuagint, which is just a Greek translation of the Old Testament, it was divided Law, Psalms, Prophets, Apocrypha. The Apocrypha was in the Septuagint. So these phrases that was used here, the Law or the Prophets, and these other two phrases, they were specific phrases that were used to refer to the Hebrew Masoretic text. And it couldn't be talking about the Apocrypha. But Luke 24:27. Let's read Luke 24:27. And it says here, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And in verse 44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And in these three scriptures, we can know for a fact that the King James text that underlies our Bible, the Hebrew Masoretic text, that this is the text that was endorsed by Jesus himself. And I want to talk just a little bit about history. And we not only stand with some very fine men and women of God today on this issue, but we also stand historically with the Antonicene Church, the Church of the Martyrs. We stand with them, and we stand with the saints of God through all ages, and we stand specifically with the saints of the Reformation that were martyred by the Catholic Church over this issue and also over the issue of transubstantiation, when they would, when the Catholic Church would martyr the Reformation saints, they would tie their scriptures around their neck, and they would burn their scriptures up when they burned them. The harlot Church of Rome hates the King James Bible, and that's really what the Reformation was all about. And we'll at the proper time, we're going to talk about Erasmus and a little bit about that history. But I want to read something from the Westminster Confession of Faith of 1646. This was 35 years after the King James Bible was published. And you can read similar confessions of faith. I won't read from all of them. But I could read from the London Baptist Confession of 1677, the Philadelphia Baptist Confession of 1743, or the Savoy Confession of 1652, and many other confessions. This is what Bible Christians believed. They believed in the doctrine of Bible preservation. They knew and they understood that in the King James Bible, that's what they had. But this is from the Westminster Confession of 1646, and this is what it says. "The Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, being immediately inspired by God and by His singular care and providence, kept pure in all ages." That's Bible preservation. They not only believed the Word of God was given, but they believed that it was kept pure in all ages, are therefore authentical, so as in all controversies of religion, the church is finally to appeal unto them. Now that is Bible preservation. This is the historic faith of the Orthodox Church. And before 1611, the Bible Christians, they knew what the correct manuscripts of the Holy Scriptures were. Now, a lot of you might know the name Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell is considered one of the leading apologists today. He's been on TBN and Daystar, and he's considered as one of the big guys in the field of apologetics. And in some areas, credit where credit is due, Mr. McDowell does a good job, and we applaud him for that. But in this most important of issues, he drops the ball. And after he drops it, he kicks it into enemy territory. But I want to read from his book, Josh McDowell, The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, from page 341. And I want you to hear this morning what not only Mr. McDowell believes, but this is what the major Christian seminaries believe, and we should say cemeteries, and this is what the preachers that are filling the pulpits of our 501c3 churches, this is what they believe. They don't believe in the doctrine of Bible preservation anymore. And listen from his own mouth. This is what he says, and the heading is Exact Words? This is the heading of this section, Exact Words? This is what Mr. McDowell says. Inerrancy does not demand that the Logia Jesu, the sayings of Jesus, contain the epissima verba, the exact words of Jesus. Only the epissima vox, the exact voice. Now, what he's saying is that when we read what Jesus said in the Bible, we don't have his exact words. We have the voice. We've got the basic understanding and basically what he meant, but we don't have the exact words. He denies the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture to the fact that God has given us words. He goes on to say, this point is closely akin to the one just made about historical precision. When a New Testament writer cites the sayings of Jesus, it is not necessary that Jesus use those exact words. Undoubtedly, the exact words of Jesus are to be found in the New Testament, but they need not be exact in every instance. Oh, really? Is that all you got, Josh? That sometimes it's the exact words, sometimes it isn't? Well, how do I know if it's the exact words or not? Do I call Josh? You see, and it's real clear, Josh McDowell does not believe that when he reads the Bible, he is reading the inerrant words God gave. Oh, it's pretty close. It's got the general idea. But the exact words, no, they don't believe that. Now, if I believe that about the Word of God, I wouldn't care if I read it or not. Today, we have an apostate church that has no desire to read the Word of God, and one of the reasons why, they don't even know what it is. They don't understand that when they hold the Bible in their hand, that they are reading the exact words given to them by the Creator of the universe. Now, I became a Christian in 1971 in Indiana State Prison. And I had some time, and after I was converted, I read the Bible through completely twice, and I read the New Testament several times before I got out of prison. I had I hit the ground running pretty well, and I've read it through multiple times since then. But the reason why I have been so in love with the Word of God, when I was in prison chapel in 1971, I had a revelation from God. And that revelation was that God wrote a book. And I was overwhelmed. And I didn't know what the Bible was. And we have to understand that we are dealing with an American religious system that they don't even know what the Bible is. If they understood that in the Word of God, they had the exact words given to them by the Creator of the universe, that God wrote a book and He's given it and preserved it to mankind. How could you not be excited about it? How could you not pick that book up and read it and study it and cherish it? So this is what part of our mission is here at FOJC Radio Church. And in our first message this year, I asked for you to partner with me to preach and defend the gospel. And certainly this is one of the most important areas that we need to take time to understand is God's preserved Word. Because when people understand what the Word of God is, they're going to get excited about it. Now, we're going to take our break this morning, and we've got a lot more to say about God's preserved Word. We'll be right back.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Got to take a look, and he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book.
You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. For being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com. www.radionetworkpns.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KDLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.